Hi, everyone, and welcome to the FENSCast. This is your podcast from FENS, the Federation of European Neuroscience Societies, where we'll be discussing topics associated with FENS activities and researchers within the FENS network. I'm Richard Roach. I'm the chair of the Communications Committee for FENS. And over the coming weeks, we're going to be discussing key topics within FENS with various different people. Today, we're joined by Rosa Chiara Paolicelli and Anne Roumier, who are both involved in the FENS Hertie Winter School. Rosa is an assistant professor at the Department of Physiology in the University of Lausanne, where she studies the role of microglia in neurodegeneration. And Anne is based in the Sorbonne University in Paris, where she's a professor, and she studies serotonin, microglia, and plasticity. So let me ask you both, first of all, how did you each become interested in your research topics?
I have started working on microglia already during my PhD. It's now more than 10 years ago, in fact. And I started in, to be honest, it was actually my side project, this tiny little project on microglia that actually developed. I was in the lab of Cornelius Gross at the EMBL in Monterotondo. And the time I remember I was actually getting so fascinated about these cells, and this tiny parallel project became in fact my major project. And since then I've kept studying microglia during my postdoc, and now that I have my own lab, it's the focus of my research. Yeah.
Excellent. And Anne, I know you have a similar interest maybe in relation to serotonin and the impact on microglia. How did you find yourself in that area?
So I found myself in, I started during my postdoc because I'm a bit older than Rosa. So I did a PhD in immunology, and then I wanted to move to neuroscience. And I joined a lab to look for at genes that were doing impacting synaptogenesis. And actually we found that the gene was not expressed in neurons, but in microglia, and that's how it started. And then I really fell in love with these cells because they are they're really beautiful. So each time you go at the microscope, you're just it makes your day to look at these ramified cells. And coming from a field where I was working on lymphocytes, which was just round cells, it was beautiful to work on microglia. And then I got interested in serotonin when I got my position as here in the Institut Ferrand Moulin, where I joined a lab which has at the beginning no interest for microglia, but we were all dedicated to serotonin. And then I started developing this line of research on the regulation of microglia by serotonin, which opened really a great perspective.
Great. And it seems like the emphasis on microglia in the last few years has really increased. So I think we're starting to appreciate the role that it might have in various conditions. So Rosa, what's your view on the role of microglia in, let's say, degenerative conditions of the brain?
Yeah, as you actually just mentioned, probably I guess that one of the most interesting aspects about the research on microglia is that we are aware now of how many things they do even in the healthy brain. And I guess that this is also the key to understand even better what they do in pathology. And this is something that we are now trying to really get into, to understand how dysfunctional microglia, so basically not doing what they are supposed to do, can contribute to the pathogenesis of brain disorders. And this is probably one of the most interesting aspects now to compare, right, the physiological function as opposed to what goes wrong when they don't do their job.
Right. And Anne, I suppose the same question for you in terms of your work. How do you see the role of microglia in brain conditions?
Well, I think it has a great role. I mean, it has a role all over the development and then in adulthood and pathology. And so we have some projects which are more focused on development. So there are works of many labs that have shown roles in neuronal migration, pruning of the circuits. And so by this way, they contribute to the normal formation of brain wiring. And well, what I like is that, they can be altered by many things that come from pathogens or for the environment. And then the change in microglia makes a link between the effect on environment, on your brain wiring, and then on development, and then on the, how you're connected and how you behave in adulthood. So, that's why I'm interested in that.
It's fascinating, and I think it's a research area that's just going to continue to grow in importance in the next few years. So next, I want to ask you about the Fens Hertie Winter School, which I know you're both involved in. So let me ask Anne first, how did you first become involved with the Winter School?
Actually, I was contacted by the chat committee, the Committee for Education and of Fens. They wanted to organize a winter school on the topic of neuro-immune interaction. And so I was super happy that they contacted me, but I wanted to not to do that by myself. And so I contacted Rosa. I knew her from some previous meetings, and I knew that it would be great to work together.
So from that, Rosa got involved. So how did that come about?
Yeah, exactly. And one day wrote me this email saying, hey, would you like to help with this organization of the winter school? I was actually super pleased, very happy to join this adventure. And yeah, since then, in fact, it's true, we were in contact with Anne because of some meeting we met. And now we are having weekly, almost weekly Zoom meeting, Zoom calls, so we know even better each other. It's actually very fun adventure to be involved in. Yeah.
Now, the next Fens Hertie Winter School is in Tyrol in Austria, and the topic is neuroimmune interactions in health and disease. How did you decide on the topic, or what was the process there to choose a subject for it?
Yeah, as Anne mentioned, was the Fens organization that already had in mind this topic, and we had to develop it a bit to decide how to, you know, address, cover the topic, because neuroimmune interaction can be really, really broad. Is also emerging now as a very hot topic. In fact, in neuroscience and immunology, it's very transversal, if you like. So we had to decide and to discuss what kind of fil rouge give a bit, you know, to how to address also to try to combine the different talks and the different speakers that will contribute to the school.
And Anne, I'll just ask you maybe about the format, because I understand it's quite interactive and there are various interactive sessions. So can you describe those a little bit and tell us about what they involve?
Yeah, the idea is to foster interaction and discussions between the attendees and the faculty members, and also between the attendees. So to this aim, we have prepared some sessions which are less scientific, but not on a precise topic. For example, there will be one on the grant writing and another one on neuroethics. And we expect to have discussions during these sessions. And there will be also more social activities.
Right. And I think that social aspect and the networking element of an event like this is really important. But you mentioned the sessions about ethics in research. Can you tell me a little bit about what that will involve?
Yeah, we thought about having an expert in neuroethics, because it's probably something that would involve all the students and postdoc, regardless of the specific interest of the research. And it's a very general topic, I would say, that everybody would be engaged in discussing. And the idea is really to go through the different, even philosophical questions, perhaps, that are related to the ethics in neuroscience, in the models that we use, and now especially with these advances in organoids, for instance, which are mini brains in vitro, in culture. So how much do we need to consider them in ethical terms? So this kind of example. So we hope to elicit some discussion also among the young researchers.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to highlight ethics at an early stage in people's career so that they can bring that through with them throughout their career afterwards. You also mentioned that there would be a session around grant writing and applying for funding. So what is contained in that session?
And so we will have someone who will present the format of a grant and how to write a grant, what are the main points, how to follow a line. I think it's even for a younger researcher, earlier researcher, it's important to know how that there are rules to follow when you write a grant to increase your chance to be selected.
And I think that sort of guidance is really important, because very often it's not spelled out to young researchers. They're more focused on their actual research. So it's really nice that aspect of the job can be explained. Mm-hmm. Are there poster sessions as well at the Winter School?
Yes, I think we have several poster sessions, almost one every day. And so this will be every attendee will have his poster. And yeah, there will be a very long time for that. And I want to say that even for the for the scientific presentation of the faculty members. There are very long sessions. It's not only a talk of 30 or 45 minutes, but the ideas the faculties are will be asked to prepare really an interactive sessions and to allow people to discuss with them a lot during the presentation, not like in a congress, a normal one.
And are there opportunities for the younger attendees to interact and chat with some of the more established researchers and presenters there?
Yeah, I would say that this is exactly the idea of the school, to promote this environment, this atmosphere of interaction, and where, in fact, usually it happens now in Congress when you meet somebody that you don't even have you are a bit shy, you don't want to directly talk to them, but probably staying a longer time in contact, spending breakfast together, you know, having time to get a coffee and to chat over the topic. This will promote, we really hope that this will promote a lot of interaction, not only with the faculty members, but also among the students themselves, and the networking will be really encouraged. Yeah.
I would just want to add that I think with Rosa, we paid attention to ask faculty members to select them, because we know that they are very good at interacting with everyone. That some of them we saw them during other meetings, and we know that they are very active and they go to posters. And that's really what was the reason we chose them.
That's great. And I think that's really important, because as you say, at formal conferences, it can be off-putting to approach someone very senior, very established. So to have a winter school where the purpose is to network and interact is really positive and a really good idea. Now, you mentioned some social activities or fun activities as well as the academic program. So what do you have in mind? What's involved in the social side of the winter school?
Well, we have several ideas. We want to help people to know each other. We may ask, may prepare some quiz, asking questions one about the other. And well, at the end, there will be a party, I think. And in the middle, we also want to, well, maybe you can tell it, Rosa. What was your ID?
Maybe we wanted to keep it a surprise, otherwise
yes.
I will not to come. But actually, the idea is to organize a karaoke to force everybody to sing and to be ashamed in front of the others. No, I'm joking. It will be fun. It's nice also to have some alternative activity to know better each other. And that's why we thought that karaoke might be one of those simple, promoting interaction again and laugh together.
And there is also some time in the early afternoon. There is a large breaks, and it's possible to go for skiing, actually.
Ah, yeah, true. Actually, we will be in the middle of nowhere, actually, in a place that the altitude is, what, 1,900 meters in the mountains, and just 5 minutes by the slopes. So there will be on purpose time, as Dan said, to ski.
I did wonder when I saw the location if some skiing might be part of the program. So that sounds like a great idea. Roughly how many people do you expect to attend? What's the size of the winter school?
We expect 40 attendees, and there are 14 speakers.
Excellent. So that sounds like a really nice, intimate size where you can really get to know people and network properly and form good connections. And I suppose the idea of networking and forming connections, it's becoming increasingly important in science, I think, and in research. Was that one of the motivating ideas for setting up the Winter School, to facilitate collaborations or potential collaborations for young scientists?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is an important aspect. It's actually together with the direct approach of the faculties also, this would foster collaboration and create new connection. Definitely, that's the idea. Yeah.
And I think it's important, yeah. When you go to later, when they will go to conferences, these young attendees, I hope that they will be able to reconnect with their former the friends they made during the winter school, because I think conferences can be sometimes stressful because you can feel lonely. So I think is to know already people, you know, you will see this person that you already met before. So it makes you feel more comfortable and you're more happy to go to conferences. And I think it's important.
Great. It does sound fantastic. So how long does it last? How many days will the winter school run for?
That's a week of the school. Yeah. We will arrive on Sunday, on a Sunday afternoon, and we will leave on the Saturday after. It will be a full week together.
Excellent. So that's plenty of time to form strong communications and connections with people.
Yeah, and the faculty members have been really encouraged to stay longer, not only the day of their talk, but of course to spend more days with the students.
And I'm sure in a location like Tyrol, that won't be difficult to make people want to stay around. So it's a very good choice of venue. So let me ask finally, and you can both answer this maybe in turn. For someone who's never gone before and are thinking about going, why should they go? Why should they attend the Defence Hertie Winter School?
I think we have selected a great line of speakers. So there will be topics, really, we try to really cover different fields in neuro-immune interactions, from development to neurodegeneration, and with different models, mice, and insight into the human pathologies. And this, so for science, for networking, and then for fun.
Yeah, and for some skiing. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. That's wonderful. Rosa and Anne, thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to hearing how the winter school goes. So thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the FENSCast. Before you leave, don't forget that FENS, on behalf of Wiley and the European Journal of Neuroscience, launched the call for nominations for the Best Publication Award. The Hertie Foundation, in collaboration with FENS, has also opened the call for nominations for the Eric Kandel Young Neuroscientist Prize 2023. Don't forget also to send your nominations for the FENS EJN Award and the FENS EJN Young Investigator Prize before 31 January. The FENS Ebro Perk Exchange Fellowships will be launched soon. Don't forget to submit your abstract and enjoy early registration rates for the FENS Regional Meeting 2023, taking place in Algarve, Portugal between 3 to 5 May. Make sure also to apply for the FENS travel grants for the FRM before the deadline, 28 February. Thank you for listening and join us for the next episode of FENSCast. Don't forget to follow us on FENS.org, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube.